And welcome, welcome to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Friday, June the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2014. And it is an open mic Friday. That means we're willing to take your calls on any subject of a theological nature. Our numbers are 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. That's 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. As indicated in the promo, though, I am going to be discussing some emails that we received. The first one here is from Paul. He says, I have a question for you. I know that decision theology isn't biblical. Any decision is totally the work of God. Yet as Lutherans, we practice confirmation for young adults. Isn't this a decision each young adult makes? I know, as I have heard you say, that some may fall from their baptism. So is it that at salvation we don't make a decision, but as followers of Christ, we decide daily to follow him? I heard you say one day that all the saved are not necessarily all the elect. Could you elaborate? So we're going to take a look at this. And as I indicated, though, calls have priority over our emails. So we are going to go, first of all, to a call here. And I think the person is up now. Let me see. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this? Okay, must be not for me. Sorry. All right, let's get back to the a point we're trying to make here on biblical theology as to whether or not decision is totally the work of God. Theology is the art of making distinctions. And one of the distinctions we really need to make is the distinction between those who are saved and those who are not saved. If we are talking about the process of becoming saved, it is impossible to make a decision. But once you are saved, obviously you are able to make decisions by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know of any young adults that came into confirmation that were not already Christians. And therefore, they did make a decision to come into an adult instruction class or a youth confirmation. So it's pretty clear that decision in regard to salvation cannot be made by any individual who is an unbeliever. But those who are not unbelievers, such a decision can be made, all kinds of decisions in regard to Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has created within you a new heart. Let's now go to the phone lines and talk with Neil. Hi, Neil. You're on the air.
Yes. My good fortune being able to speak to you, Pastor Tom Baker. Yesterday, I heard someone say, you know, apply myself to the best of my ability. Well, that sounds great for the common man and for all of our common good. You know, but I don't want to repeat. I noticed that he repeated himself several times. And
what was that on my program?
Yes. Yesterday, since you're taking calls all through the week.
Right. That was Wes Reimnes was on yesterday.
Oh.
Was he the one who mentioned that?
Well, I'm not sure, but someone just kept on, and they caught my attention. That's what I've been hearing. And I just heard it. He said it like several times. And, you know, I definitely don't mean to repeat myself several times while I'm so luckily this time. It was so wonderful being able to be on KFUO talking to Pastor Tom Baker. I mean, it's something to remember. Well, also, you know, I was walking through the arch grounds on the riverfront in St. Louis, And a couple ladies went by and had some T-shirts, and it said, serve like crazy. Well, I paid attention to that, and there's one lady, I walked her up to her, and you know, I said, have you ever heard of anything like, you got to be a little crazy to live in this insane world? And well, I was wondering what you thought on that, Tom Baker. I don't know.
Well, I'll be glad to speak on that, sir. No problem at all here. First of all, as to your first point, do the best of your ability. If that was yesterday, and I can't recall either one of us saying that, but it might have been in the context of stewardship, where Wes Reimnitz would be making a point that the widow did do the best of her ability, her God-given ability. And Wes made a really good point I had never really thought about before. The text is not clear as to whether the woman is entering the temple or leaving that part of the temple where women were allowed. And his suggestion was she was leaving it after the worship service. And therefore, having heard the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, she therefore did to the best of her ability. If you're talking about that phrase in connection with salvation, then that would be wrong. In fact, there's a Latin phraseology Roman Catholics use, do the best that is within you. And the fact of the matter is, the best that is within you will still send you to hell. Because God doesn't work as in a process where you start off doing something good, then he rewards you with more grace until you get to the point where he considers you saved. No, the conversion process is totally the work of the Holy Spirit as a person hears the word or receives the sacrament of baptism. Therefore, we do not say that anyone who is an unbeliever can do to the best of their ability. But yesterday, we weren't talking about unbelievers. We were talking about believers in the act of stewardship, namely using our resources for the betterment of the church and mankind. And so, obviously, we can't expect, say, a church come out and say, well, if everybody would give, say, $200 additional, then we'll be able to meet our budget. I know that I have members of my congregation on welfare, etc., and $200 would be something that they would be fortunate to have each month. And to put that kind of onus on them and that kind of burden, that would not be to the best of their ability, and it would be inappropriate for a pastor to give that kind of a condition, as though, therefore, that's how you really love God. Serve like crazy, I don't have too much to say about that. We are to serve our neighbor, and maybe we do seem to be crazy. We certainly are considered to be crazy when the tsunami hit. For example, Sri Lanka, where a lot of buildings were destroyed, and here comes the Lutherans giving them food and housing. And some of the people, because of their religious background, thought that karma had just occurred. They got what they deserved, and they couldn't understand these crazy Lutherans coming in and helping out people who didn't deserve it. See, that was the point that was being made there. Well, we don't deserve anything. And because of that motivation in our hearts, that God has given us that which we don't deserve, we don't have any problem then in taking a look at someone else and giving them the good news of Jesus Christ and helping them in merciful ways. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's talk with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
How you doing? Let me change the phone real quick. Okay, listen, my question's in reference to where you were saying that the scripture, I forgot how you said it, but the scriptures are really about Jesus or something.
Yes.
Well, my question, you know, like when I was looking through my concordance, and of course I see this term Lord of Hosts. I mean, what is the Lord of Hosts, or who is the Lord of Hosts?
Okay, we'll be glad to answer that question. Thanks for calling. Lord of Hosts, though the word host is thought to be referring to the company of angels, the army of angels, that God is therefore, sometimes is referred to as the Lord of Sabaoth, not Sabbath, It's spelled S-A-B-A-O-T-H, and that is thought of referring to the angelic hosts that are pure in thought, the good angels. And Jesus is Lord of hosts, because remember, there was nothing that was created, according to John chapter 1, that was not created by Jesus. So, thanks for the good question, Mike, and I hope that answer is satisfactory. Let's go back to the emails. There was another question that Paul had asked. I heard you say one day that all the saved are not necessarily all the elect. Could you elaborate? When I would have said something like that, maybe more accurately, I would have said that those who are believers right now may not be part of the elect. Now, believers are those who, of course, would be saved if they were to die, but they may not be part of the elect. What's the difference between a believer and the elect? Remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. The elect are those who last to the end. In other words, on the day of their personal judgment, at their personal death, or when God returns on judgment day, they are still believers. And that kind of falls into what Paul was saying a little earlier in the email, namely that some can fall away from their baptism. Yes, a believer can fall away from his baptism. We do not believe once saved, always saved. That is a terrible teaching, because there is no assurance, therefore, that you are one of the saved. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it. If you believe once saved, always saved, and then you go through a time when you see some members of your congregation who fall away and maybe become Mormon or Muslim, now, what are you going to say? You're going to have to say they were never really saved. But if that is true, what characteristics that you have is similar to what they had? Namely, coming to church regularly, giving offerings, singing, confessing your sins, believing in the doctrines of the church. That's what these people did. And then for some reason, they fell from God's grace, decided to become Mormon or something, and therefore are no longer saved. Now, if we understand that properly, then the idea of once saved, always saved is a terrible doctrine, because you can never be sure that you're saved, because there are many people who fell away who have the same characteristics and attributes that you have, thinking thereby that you're saved. How do you know that you're saved? You have to look outside of yourself. Don't look at your faith. Because very few of us, and I'm included in this, do not have perfect faith. Because every time we sin, that shows unbelief. Well, we're now looking to ourselves rather than to God. You certainly don't want to say, I'm saved because I believe in Jesus. Jesus says there will be many on that last day who called to him by name and yet are not saved. And Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, would be a good example of that. Because in their own theology, they have so twisted the scriptures that they have now denied what the scriptures say about Jesus Christ. So, just because somebody says, I believe in Jesus, doesn't mean that they're saved. One needs to understand, what do you mean by that? Who is Jesus for you? And if they say, well, he's a wonderful example, and insofar as I follow his example, I'm going to be saved, that's false teaching. That's a false doctrine. Now, the old Adam always will try and give you the impression that you are saved by your works. He loves to do that. He loves to give you the impression that you contribute to your salvation. So, when you sin and you realize that you aren't following the example of Jesus, you'll begin to wonder, boy, am I saved? So I make a distinction between believers at this time and the elect, making the point that the elect are those who withstand to the end, who continue to believe all the way through their life. And so that's why I made the statement, namely, that you wanted me to explain that all the saved are not necessarily all the elect. The saved are those who at this time are believers, but if they fall away from their baptismal covenant, oh boy, they're in a problem. Okay, the next email I'm not going to read because it's very lengthy. But obviously, Bill, and he's out of California, did some real work on this. It was when I was on Issues, Etc. On Monday when we were discussing about Noah and the Ark and the Flood. And I made the point that it took Noah 100 years to build the Ark. Well, what Bill did is he attached his analysis and theories that it was actually less than 100 years. He thinks the max would have been 94 or 95 years, likely scenario of 70 to 80 years, and he even says an outside chance that it could be as low as 5 years. Now he says, I want to thank you for always providing great insights on both law and gospel each morning and when you do the Sunday school lessons on Issues, etc. each week. And God bless from Bill. Well, Bill's analysis is too long to read here, but he does a scripture interpret scripture. And if you would like to have a free copy of this, I'm only too happy to send it to you because you may want to read it and then make your own decision as to whether Bill is correct. Because of its length, I really haven't had the time to go over it verse by verse. But I'm not saying that he's in error. I'm just simply saying that it's going to take me a little while longer to take a look at this, but maybe you'll be willing to help me. It's kind of interesting that a lot of people think that that Noah was 500 years old when, of course, he was told about the flood, and then later on, he was 600 years old when the flood ended. And so that's where a lot of us get the idea that 100 years was the building of the flood. But Bill has some interesting calculations, goes into it much more detail, and I'm going to share this also with some other folks. But if you want a free copy of this, how do you get it? You simply email me, and then I will email back to you a copy. And my email address, and this is the new one, is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And the word and is spelled out, A-N-D. lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. By the way, I really appreciate the many of you who have signed up for my mailing list. That you can find at lawandgospel101.com. It's one of the first items you do. You just give me your name and your email address, and you will receive a free theological analysis of Heaven is for Real that I have done. In fact, I am going to be also mailing to these folks a free copy of an Ascension Day service that I did. And the reason I'm doing that is because there's a lot of churches that don't have Ascension Day on Thursday. And some of them will then emphasize it on the following Sunday, but a lot of them won't. And so many people have no real understanding of what are the benefits of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And the sermon is all about what if Jesus had never ascended? So that'll be going out next week to this list. So I would encourage you to put your name up on the list just by going to lawandgospel101.com. Now, you know, I go around the country and I do seminars, sermons, classes. Well, I have been putting them up on a membership site. And that's the second thing you'll see on that first page of lawandgospel101.com. For $10 a month, you get 4 items every month, 1 a week. So sometimes you get five items because we have 5 weeks in some months. And their PowerPoint, Camtasia, which are videos explaining Lutheran theology in quite some depth. And I'm not the only one. I use some other pastors who have done some wonderful work. And there's some music also that we put on there, and we explain why. So if you're all interested, it's only $10 a month, and it is automatically taken from your credit card. So I would encourage you to do that. The third item on that page is resources and various books available. And we're continuing to grow that. We've got about 40 of them, but we only have about six or seven up right now. And then the last item is if you would like to contribute to Law and Gospel so that we can stay on the air, we do give KFUO funds to remain on the air. We sure can use that at this time. So please take a look at that. That's the fourth item. And if you're willing to contribute, we're only too happy to do that. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call. It's Open Mic Friday, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That's the 1-800 number is anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, I also appreciate those of you who have been writing to me about books as well as items to give to people interested in Christianity. I got a letter from email from James. And this is very interesting. The Good News Magazine now has two issues online. Two issues online. If you're at all interested, the site to do that would be too lengthy. It's about 40 characters, and there's underlines and such. But I'm more than willing to send that to you. So just email me at lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. And you can ask me for two things today. You can ask me for Bill's analysis of the number of years that Noah built the ark. And you can ask me for the, what do they call it? Yeah, the URL for taking a look at the Good News Magazine online. And I went to that, and it even has the beautiful photos and pictures from museums on there. Some real work went into this. Wallace Schultz, of course, is the editor who works with his wife in putting out this excellent magazine. And the last one to come out, by the way, the Good News, was on Psalm 23. I would really encourage you to actually get a subscription to that. And all you have to do is phone this number, 1-800-778-1132. That's 1-800-778-1132. So I really appreciate James sending me that information about Law and Gospel. I'm sorry, the Good News Magazine being online. And when I clicked on it, it sure came up. So I'll be glad to send that to you also if you would care to receive it. Monday's broadcast, by the way, we're going to be talking about Trinity Sunday. And one of the points we're going to make is if you ask most people, give me examples where the Holy Trinity is found in the Old Testament books, I doubt whether many Christians would be able to give you examples. So on Monday, we're going to be taking a look where in the first chapter of Genesis, there are two examples of the Holy Trinity. That's going to be coming up this coming Sunday. Monday for the following Sunday. This coming Sunday, of course, is Pentecost. And Pentecost, I think it would be a good point. What would the difference be if Pentecost had not occurred? What would the difference be if Pentecost had not occurred? And the other point I always like making about Pentecost is the following. Who is the person that is really spoken of and emphasized on Pentecost? And I dare say that most people are going to say the person is none other than the Holy Spirit. But that's not correct. Because if the Holy Spirit is the person emphasized, then the Holy Spirit hasn't really done his work. Yes, Jesus is the emphasis. And that's what we talked about a lot this week, how every passage in the Bible is really about Jesus, if you take a look in its entire context, using the Reformation principle of Scripture interprets Scripture. Well, I pray that you'll have an opportunity to be at a church on this Pentecost Sunday. And if you don't have one in Illinois, go to Havana, Illinois, or Pastor Mark Smith's church in Crestwood. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or owners of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-505-7839. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.